Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Oh, have I got big news for you. Stupid Smile is the name of my new tour, and I got it after Matthew Salicus took my photos, and I realized what a stupid, dumb smile I have. September, I'm going to be in Providence, in Burlington, Vermont, Fort Collins, Colorado. October, Huntington, New York, Wilmington, Delaware, Richmond, Virginia. I'm also going to be in Annapolis, Maryland, York, Pennsylvania, and then in November, Sacramento, California, San Francisco, California, Crystal Bay, Nevada, New Orleans, Brea, La Jolla. December is Freehold, West Palm, Tampa, and Puerto Verde, I think it's called. JimNorton.com tour.
Jim Norton can save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can help you.
I just don't like most country music. I tried to. Johnny Cash, I'm a country hack. Like, I'm a hack with country. I like Johnny Cash.
I don't think you're wrong. I think a lot of popular country music sucks dick.
Oh, this one I like. I do chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night.
That's a great song.
I like that song.
That's a great song.
And I saw it. It was in a documentary about a woman and her father who had killed an Irish guy. And the Irish guy was like, he had like an American wife, and his sons, they said like he attacked the wife, but then it came out that she killed him. And on the way to her trial or whatever, the kids were listening to that song because their dad loved it.
Oh.
And it was making them think of their dad. Oh, chicken fried.
What an alcoholic mick. He's like, do you know what I really like? Songs about chicken and drinking. Now, if the woman gets out of control, I'm going to take her life. You fucking piece of trash. They're bog people.
Why is she hitting me with an anvil and my sons are now sad?
She fucking acme killed me. She killed me like I was the wild e-coyote off under my trial.
She painted a little exit on the wall and ran into it.
I'm starting to understand why they used to call the Irish black.
Well, that's not the phrase they used.
When you see those signs from like the 30s where it's like, no dogs, no blacks, no Irish, you're like, damn.
Yeah. Well, what are you saying? Dan's saying, where can we get those signs?
I'm saying one on one side of the TV, one on the other.
That's
just right. Let them fucking know.
Remember in American History X, not welcome.
Oh, yeah. See that? You're like, Jesus, Edward.
By the way, you were in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I only know this because you asked me, you said you were going to be listening to Motorhead the whole ride back.
Yeah, fuck.
All we've been talking about is Motorhead.
I love it.
Is this a new find for you?
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Well, let me tell you what it is. It's a deeper find because Motorhead... I got into Motorhead like the hacky way, Ace of Spades, a couple other ones. But then I really loved Eat the Rich and I'll Be Your Sister. So like random singles. But then I just started listening to full Motorhead albums.
Yeah.
And they're awesome.
They're great. Three guys.
Just awesome. It just, I think now in the age of like shitty AI music and people just doing stuff with backing tracks.
Yeah.
Just to hear those fucking guys rip. It's awesome. And you did fuck. I love the song Bomber.
That's their closing song. It was their closing song. They would have like a weird plane kind of come down and just tilt. It was very, very like old school kind of graphics. It was great.
Did the other guys ever get sick of Lemmy always bringing up World War II?
I imagine it probably wore thin after a while, but they're like, look, what's he going to do? He's going to dress up like this. It makes him happy.
Yeah, but I do wonder when the appeasement talk happened where they were like, just let him. Because he probably brought it up in ways that they were like, all right.
Yeah.
He's like, did you know a very interesting fact is Russia? And you go, I don't care anymore.
Lenny. I know. Enough Stalin talk. Yeah. He's got a tent in his pants.
He goes, I want to talk about the Battle of the Midway.
When he did, I don't know if I told you, but when he did Down and Dirty, he was like my musical director on HBO.
Awesome.
Four episodes.
And you kept him up in the, in the DJ
booth. We just wanted Lemmy involved. That was all it was. We wanted Lemmy involved.
Did
somehow.
The theme song, right?
We Are the Road Crew, yeah. From the same album as Ace of Spades. But it was his rider. All he wanted was Jack Daniels and Pringles. He had potato chips and Jack Daniels, and he smoked. That my manager took that picture of us in the limo.
That's incredible.
I know, me with the wrong band jersey.
Oh, you were in Kiss, but it is all, like.
But he covered "Shout It Out Loud." Motorhead did a great cover. He did fucking great covers. He covered "Shout It Out Loud." He's covered "Sympathy for the Devil." Like they have some really interesting blue suede shoes.
What I liked about him is he stayed. He didn't like try to do Lemmy soaps. You know, like you see celebrities now try to do other stuff, like capitalize on their celebrity. He just bought Nazi memorabilia with his touring money, went to the Rainbow Room and played and got drunk.
Poker, yeah.
And then just toured.
And by the
and
way,
I love that. I love something about that being like, that's going to be my career.
Nobody would buy Lemmy soap. It wouldn't have been a big seller.
If what? Oh, Lemmy soap?
Yeah.
He's like, you want to stink? Like, you just been on the road for 40 years. And they go, no, I don't want that. He's
the
like,
same bar for 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, he does look like a guy that the clothes he wears, he looks like a sweaty chap.
Yeah. And he smokes with the windows up. He doesn't give a shit.
I love that shit. Did he smoke in when you guys were filming?
I don't remember.
The theater probably had rules.
Yeah, he might not. Maybe in the green room. By the way, if you want to call in, we'll go off Instagram. It's is it 210-720-820-1337? Did I get it right? Call in for a suggestion and we'll help you. I've got some real tough comedy questions.
Oh, I hated that. Oh, that really upset me.
Really? You didn't like
that?
No,
I'm kidding. I love
you.
Oh,
the tough comedy
questions. The tough comedy questions. Really? Let's break our brain on the art.
Yeah, we're really going to get
on the art
of
stand-up.
What? Yeah, Ari Shaffir didn't like it when I said, what makes Ari tick? But I thought that was such a poignant question.
Yeah, it's like putting a fucking sweater on an outdoor cat. He's just going to claw at you the whole time. He's like, and you're like, no, hold on. Hold on.
It's not knowing you're doing it for his own good.
Yeah. You go, this is going to be adorable, Ari.
What question do you hate? Like, it's crazy how after all these years and all these podcasts, people still ask awful comedian questions.
The one that you probably spent your whole career getting, but it's the one question that immediately will turn comedians off. Because what it shows is, it's a question that shows you don't give a shit who I am and you haven't looked into anything I do, is when they go, what made you want to become a comedian?
I hear that usually from the audience as they're filing out.
Like, waiting in line for refunds?
Yeah.
Hey, what made you want to be a comedian?
It's not even an angry question. It's like, what made you want to do this?
Why?
I don't know.
Why? You could have just saved us the time.
I just wanted to.
But that is one of the ones where Bill Burr used to have the funniest thing on his website in like 2008, where if you went to his bio on his website, if you clicked bio, it said, hey, morning radio DJ. Here's the questions I want you to ask me. And it was just funny. Like, it was really funny.
Was it those questions?
No, it was like good. It was like
good questions.
Yeah. Like something that you probably could tell he wouldn't mind answering. But it was funny. I thought that was really funny.
That is really funny because they do when they do like a Wikipedia deep dive and talk about where you were born and you're like, no one gives. I mean, that's my life and I don't give a shit.
I don't care that I was born in Hartford.
Yeah. So what? Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk insurance. Honestly, have you noticed that Hartford is so quiet at night? You Whalers fan? Guy who really thinks he hits gold. Yeah. You Whalers?
Love the logo. Yeah. Bring it back. I actually genuinely do love the Hartford
what
Whalers.
What was the... Is it just a whale?
It was a whale tail, but then it had a blue H if you looked at it.
Oh.
Pretty fun. Hartford was the... There it is.
That's
see
a really...
That, see that gray H?
It's an ominous town at night, though. Like, when you would walk... There was a gig called Brown and Thompson's there years ago, and you'd walk from the hotel, and it's, like, empty at night. Like,
scary.
A lot of those places where people work and then get the fuck out of.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and it was really... like, New York... I mean, what can you say? It just it never sleeps, Dan.
It's its own. It has a soul.
Oh, my God. The
Hartford,
vibe.
Hartford's terrifying.
Yeah, at night you're walking
Well, now
back.
Especially because everyone left. All the companies left.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, like all the insurance companies. That was like, we lived there because my mom worked for Aetna, and that's where their home office
Where
was
Chubb based? Is Chubb a Hartford place, or is that a different property?
Dude, I want to find out. Where's Allstate rest its head?
Yeah, exactly. Where's United Health?
Yeah, I figured it out.
A good friend of mine wants to know.
I think they took that location off the website.
You bet they did.
Remember that? After Luigi killed that, after he killed him, how all the CEOs took their pictures off the website?
It's really funny.
Yeah. It's so funny. And they act like we forgot about that.
They learned very quickly. It's funny how they don't learn other things, but that one, they really made a mental note quickly.
Can you call Martin in IT?
Yeah.
Have him pull my name and picture off the website.
Or put the vice president's picture.
Yeah, that's really what you want to do.
Yeah.
Is you go, yeah, you know what? Hey, congratulations. You got promoted.
Yeah, let somebody give him a lead hat outside the hotel.
That was like, there was a week where you genuinely saw CEOs go like, well, they're not, are they gonna start fucking doing this?
Yeah, is this gonna be like a habit?
Yeah, I'm not saying it was good or bad. I'm saying that part was hilarious.
I know. I have very mixed feelings about it because there was a part of me that's like, you just can't do it.
Can't do that.
It's terrible. And then there's the other part of me that was like, hey man, in India, years ago in India, they dragged some like CEO out and they beat him to death. I don't remember what he is, a banker.
Sure.
But he had been, and I'm like, that's what you need more of.
Oh,
just
yeah.
People finally rising up. Yeah. And dragging people out and beating them to death.
I truly think if we brought a little more like drastic, crazy punishments,
yeah,
people would start being nicer.
Yeah, I think
like,
so too.
You know, people go like, what do you do with assholes? I go, I'll tell you what, first time they catch them, cut off one of their hands. Then you start seeing dudes around with hooks and you're like, oh, you know, and they're like, you don't understand. It was cancer. They like try to change their answer. They go, I definitely had cancer.
It's so hard to pick up a lollipop with a hook and give it to the kid.
Damn it. Hard candies. Fuck. She goes, these things rip right through Oshkosh bagoshes. He goes, this thing fucking, it's like wet, it's like a wet paper towel, this thing.
And it would be so uncomforting, that like claw on their little face. Yeah, Mister, that doesn't feel good. And they'd run and tell their parents.
I don't think you have a puppy.
Yeah, cut off a hand.
Yeah, dude. And then, you know, I think you work off appendages. Yeah. Second time, they cut off your other hand. Then they cut off your dick. I think it just like.
The dick is the third time.
Yeah, because that's like. Or that maybe should be the second one.
Yeah, not the first. I mean, you know, everybody makes a mistake.
filters, yeah, you know, who knows? I didn't know. Are you going to watch that now that Robert Pattinson's playing Chris Hansen in that new movie?
I didn't need an action movie about that, even though I love what they did. And it's like an action thriller.
Can I tell you the only thing I like about it is that now this has made the internet put out montages of the best Chris Hansen catches.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll watch those. I mean, him busting in. Big J always said the funniest thing. He says he repeats back what they say in the chats. Where he goes, I want to suck your little tiny pussy. You want to suck my little tiny pussy? But just the way that he walks in on him is always so funny. Where he goes, how can I help you?
Did you ever see the one where the guy had an Opie and Anthony shirt on?
No.
There was one of them.
No way.
We played it on the. He was like, and he goes. He told Hans. He goes, I heard you on Opie and Anthony. He goes, yeah, trying to bond. It's like, there's no bonding. There's a camera crew and cops.
Don't bring up your show to bond when you're a. You know, I was just at a Dan Soder show, and he had a joke that said, when you get caught, you go, shut.
Oh, no, I was so happy. Any press for ONA, because Sirius never promoted us, so.
Yeah.
But it was a very
funny
clip.
No wonders why it's crumbling as a company. I love that they're like, why isn't our company working? I don't know. Howard had Kim Jong-un rules, and you guys never promoted things?
Yeah, they didn't promote things at all.
It's so funny that Howard's like, no one cares about me. Yeah, because you weren't nice.
He's also doing one. Like, I don't mind him doing one a week. Like, that's what I would do if I was that guy. You know, if you're worth $200 or $800 million,
sure.
71, it's kind of hard to motivate yourself to ask somebody, you know, what do you do when you smell a queef? Like, how many times can you say that?
Yeah.
So he just kind of wants to do his interviews. And, like, I get that. Like, that's all I'd want to do if I was, you know.
Sure, but I'm fine if he goes quietly.
Yeah.
But, like, him kind of bitching on the way out, it's like, yeah, fuck you.
Why doesn't he just, like, if he just, I mean, I imagine he's making great money there, but if he just did a podcast, it would do fine.
Well, yeah, he can't at this point, because you remember.
With Rogan?
With Ari.
Was it Ari? Oh, that's when he said podcasts are stupid?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he said podcasts suck, podcasts are stupid. I think, I don't really remember specifically, but he might have said that they weren't going to fucking work.
Oh.
Like, do that thing where he's like, It's like the guy, do you know the story about Rochester, New York?
Yes, but the audience doesn't tell it.
So in Rochester, New York, it was...
Brother Weeze?
Brother, oh yeah, oh, that's another O&A reference.
That's right.
I was saying Comedy at the Carlson. Tickets on sale December 10th through the 12th.
Oh, good for you. I'm sure they'll go clean. Show will probably be added.
But I love that club. That Comedy at the Carlson's a fucking great club. But they'll tell you the story up there because it was Kodak was in Rochester. I think it's Kodak. Kodak was in Rochester, New York, and there's all these like beautiful mansions, and everybody was doing well. And then one of the guys was like, hey, what about digital film? Like, we should go digital. And Kodak was like, no, thanks. I don't think that's going to work. And then it's like the town shuttered. Like, you go there and the town's like cratered.
Is Kodak one of the... Did they pivot at all? I know it was Linda Eastman, McCartney's wife, was related to Kodak, Eastman Kodak. I
mean, oh, really?
That's why, yeah, she had a lot of money. She's somebody you knew wasn't using him because she had Kodak camera money.
Yeah, well, I think all the money fucking ran out. Yeah, it struggled from film to digital photography. Well, even though Kodak had invented integral color image sensors. So they like had it and they were like, nah, this isn't going to take off. And then it just went digital.
So weird how people miss. It's almost like the BlackBerry, which was a very, very fun little phone to have.
Yeah, you had one.
And I did. I was the BlackBerry kid. And then they tried to go to the iPhone was doing this thing with glass. So they put a glass thing, but these assholes, they made it go tuk, 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 like you could feel it move, almost like you're standing on one of those balance things.
No.
Because they wanted it to have a tactile thing.
Sure.
I fucking hate it. That's when I went to the iPhone. I'm like, you lumps of shit.
For me, I never had a BlackBerry because I was
younger.
I was an alcoholic loser, so no one was trying to set meetings. Most people were trying to find money that I owed them
or send you to meetings. You know, you know.
I wouldn't go.
I don't blame you.
It was everywhere, yep. And then the iPhone came out and just blew him out of the fucking water.
But that's why BlackBerry had one more chance, and it was just adjust to the touchscreen, but you had to duck. Yeah. I'll never forget that duck, duck. The rage I felt.
I
can't describe the rage.
I remember thinking texting was stupid. I remember being in college and being like, it was like my senior year of college, and people were like, hey, you should pay for a plan to get texting. And I was like, almost like a bad Seinfeld bit. I was like, it's a phone. You call me on the phone.
Yeah, and Kelly still thinks that way. I hate him.
Oh, if you don't pick up for Bobby, he gets mad. If he calls and you don't call him back or wait a while, and he'd be like, dude, what the fuck? What are you doing?
And he's not a texter. Like, I like to shoot a quick text. I text you, hey, see you tonight. Okay, bye. That's it.
There's no, you don't need to launch a whole fucking, you don't have to launch anything.
What's going on? How you doing? Yeah, no, cool, man. There's always that, like, the beginning of a conversation stink. I hate the phone.
Adjusting to the noise on the other end is what happened on the walk over here. I called Dan St. Germain, and he's like, where are you? You on a beach or something? You're like, I'm on 23rd and Park. And he goes, well, it's a beach to some. I go, yeah, fentanyl users.
I called Club Soda Kenny yesterday, and in the background, I hear, dang, dang, dang. I'm thinking he's at a shooting range. He's like, all right, I'm at the gym. I'm like, they're just clanging weights.
And also,
I would rather text.
They made phones so good now that they pick up all the fucking sounds. So it just sounds like chaos when someone picks up a phone.
Yeah, and it's very annoying. So I would much rather text. Although, I won't text argue. I've learned years ago, like, you ever been like going to chat? And you're trying, and then the they're all coming in.
That's how a sexting was, too.
That was fine, though.
Sexting, though, you're like, it's almost like you're trying to double dutch. Where you go, suck on those tits. And then she goes somewhere else and you go, fuck. And then we'll go back to sucking on those tits.
Yeah.
There's like four more. You try to go back to yours.
And then you realize there was a spelling mistake, three down, and you're going to suck a clot.
Yeah.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Oh, no.
I'm not sexy.
Oh, no. I don't want to see your tuts.
Oh, no. Actually, though, unless you're an Egyptian. You know.
Fun. I always hated when women would be like, when I was dating, and they were like, let's FaceTime just all the time. And you're like, no.
No, because I'm looking at porn while I text you.
You think
I'm gooning. Natural?
You think dude, you don't want to give up your gooning?
No, I'm gooning, having a great time. Yeah. Looking at things you would not like.
Yeah, do not, please do not put a picture on this.
Is there anything, like this will happen in a relationship where like you love your partner and it's fun and the sex is good, but then there's things that you like where they're just like, oh, that's weird. And you're like, oh, come on. Like,
I mean, I love that you're trying to act like any of us have the same conversations that you do.
Maybe
I love that you're like, oh yeah, my big one, tit fucking. That might get a real disapproval from the lady.
We do that, but it's just the opposite way. Since I lost weight.
Yeah, dude, when you, I think it is like funny though when you're checking the boundaries and you go, yeah. Huh? That's what's even better when, you know what's funny is when they are into it, but you can't act too excited. Where you go, and they go, yeah, me too. You go, so is that all you want to talk about? And they go, no, what about all the other stuff? And you go, that was for yesterday.
That was for yesterday.
I didn't know that you're actually locked into this.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we're talking about you putting me in thigh highs and pissing on me.
Ah, electrodes. She goes, what?
Yeah, big bunch of Gatorade.
I'm talking about laying in a pool of water and you zapping me.
Yeah, fuck the water. I just want to lay in an empty wading pool and have you shower me.
But then trying to pull it back like you're not too excited, you know, just like,
yeah, if you want to do it, yeah. Well, I have a fucking dusty waiting pool in the closet.
You're splashing around. She doesn't hear the little pitter patters of you splashing in your own puddle.
She walks in the living room 20 minutes later. I'm going like this. I have a little ducky. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, hey, remember what we talked about? Yeah, I think it's texting has made it way more easier, the direct thing. But then also sometimes people text. Have you ever had someone text you just like a general question? Yeah, they go like, how's your day? And you go,
gives a shit.
I mean, you're not getting a response to this.
No, you're not. You're my mother. Oh. Just ask me a specific. You eat money?
Oh, my God. What's going on when people do just generic catch-up texts?
Eric from ONA would always do these weird like doom texts. Like he would get a text, have you heard? Oh, hey, man, pick up. What do you got a minute? Oh. Like, and
got a minute is like...
Got a minute?
Is someone dead?
It's something's dead. I'm in big trouble. You're in big trouble and you need me, which yeah. I'm not interested in either of those scenarios.
Wait, so E-Rock would just send you texts that were like...
He would send every... He's the fucking...
Have you seen it? You go, have I seen what?
Yeah.
Oh, you better get online.
Yeah, man, dude, did you read what they're saying?
Oh, that gives me anxiety.
But it wasn't even about you. It was just a movie quote. Oh. It's all these weird things he would send you just to get you engaged. He was very good at engagement. He was very good at click text.
Yeah.
He would do, it was clickbait, but only in a text.
E-Rock would clickbait.
Hey, but he would get you. You would always go like, what, Eric, what?
Sorry about the test results. Yeah. What? What the fuck do you mean?
Exactly.
It's better than a friend that quotes movies that you don't know. Once Joe List does that to me a lot. Joe List will be like, hey, you know, it's just like Dog Day Afternoon. And I go, I don't know the movie.
You don't know
that
Dog
well.
Day Afternoon?
I know the movie. I don't know well enough to quote.
What's the quote, Dan?
God
bring
damn
me
it
in.
I don't know the quote. I genuinely don't know.
When does comedy go in too far?
When is it? When are we in trouble?
When does comedy? When does it go too far?
When does society push back?
Yeah, exactly. Are there limits? Is there anything that's too far? And here's the worst part. We always answer it. Well, that's a good question. And we talk.
Oh, God damn it.
And it just sets us on the path of a really good explanation. Welcome, Talkspace, to the podcast. Thank you guys for coming aboard, as we say. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy. And I cannot speak highly enough about therapy. I've gone for years. It helps. A lot of people do, I don't want to tell somebody my problems. But the advantage to telling a professional your problems is it's not one of your stupid friends who's going to give you advice because they want you to feel better. Therapists will hear something and then they tell me, like, this is what I think you're doing wrong. This is what I think you're doing right. The detachment they feel is what actually helps me because I'm getting real legit suggestions and it's not based in somebody being afraid of upsetting me or wanting me to feel better. It's somebody actually giving me the raw data. I think that's what I like about therapy so much. And I remember when Nikki and I had broken up at one point and I was complaining to my therapist, he gave me really good advice about helping her and about how I could help her get out of the situation she was in, but that I shouldn't try to sleep with her while she was going through this. It was really helpful. And then here we are married. So I guess I should be very angry at my therapist. he made me a good boyfriend and a good husband, so shame on him. Take control over your mental health. The world feels uncertain. It's kind of lousy, out of control. One thing you do have control over is how you respond to it and how you take care of your mental health. Talkspace makes it really, really easy to start. They make it easy to get the help you need. It's accessible. It's affordable. Plus, most insured members have a $0 copay, which is fantastic. Talkspace makes it easy to get the help you need, makes it accessible, it's affordable. Most insured members have a $0 copay, which is really good. And let's be honest, better communication leads to better relationships. So if you're sick and tired of being a lousy spouse, a lousy partner, try therapy. You have absolutely nothing to lose. As a listener of this phenomenal podcast, Average Podcast, $80 off your first month with Talkspace. You go to Talkspace.com. Enter the promo code SPACE80, S-P-A-C-E, number 8, number 0, S-P-A-C-E, 80, to match with a licensed therapist today. Go to Talkspace.com. Enter the promo code SPACE80. Remember, your friends are idiots. Let me riff on one of these thought starters from our old friends at Blue Chew. By the way, I love Blue Chew. They never complain about the reeds. They know it. If they're helping your penis, you can say whatever you want. They understand what they're doing. Let me riff on this. Guys, what do women need? Stability, reliability. Be her rock with Blue Chew. They're sponsoring the podcast and they're sponsoring your bedroom performance. Now, I love them because they're sponsoring the podcast, but I've said this many times and I'll say it again. I would use your product even if you didn't sponsor my podcast. I wouldn't talk about it if you didn't. I'm not that stupid, but I would use it in my personal life anyway because it has worked for me really, really well. It makes me feel confident. It makes my dick feel better. You pop one of them in, wait a half hour, just talk and listen to her babble for 30 minutes. And then before you know it, there's a little tent in your corduroys. Make your bedroom noisy again. My bedroom's always noisy. But it's not the right kind of noisy. I get what they're saying. Start fucking better. You're boring her in the sheets. Get your dick back to where it belongs. If you're listening to this show, you're probably not 20. You're probably 35, 40. Your dick is diving board waving. Not soft, but a little mealy like maybe an apple. Blue Chews are phenomenal. I've really had great sex thanks to Blue Chew. My dick, sometimes I'm not even going to get laid. I'm on the road. I just want to jerk off and I want it to look good. So I'll take a Blue Chew and I'll send that photo to a lucky gal. Blue Chew Gold, really amazing. They have four ingredients. Two ingredients get you hard physically and two support your arousal and the desire in the brain. But maybe they have more than four ingredients, but those are the only four I care about. Does my dick work and am I feeling turned on? Tweedling the old nipples. Special deal for our listeners. Right now, you buy 2 months of Blue Chew Gold, you get the third month free with the promo code Norton. That's promo code Norton. You can receive an additional 10% off plus free overnight shipping with your first order. BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. For more details and important safety information, of course, we thank these guys, Blue Chew, for sponsoring the podcast and for what you've done for my dick. And not just I thank you, my wife thanks you. And my friends thank you because I'm a nicer person when my dick works. I'm happier at the Comedy Cellar. I'm not biting people's heads off. But I will say this to Blue Chew. Here's my complaint. How about a few samples for Daddy?
You know, there's so many people that are upset at comedians for getting political. But I just go like, we're all idiots.
We're all idiots.
Why are you listening to anybody?
Exactly. Who
if
cares?
Anybody was smart, they would be doing something else.
Yeah. They'd be doing politics.
Yes. Or like fucking writing or I don't know, but anything but this. It's to act serious and then go on stage and be like, you ever accidentally eat your own shit? It's like, I don't know, I can't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but then meanwhile you're tweeting, look, the primaries in Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
Where's the funding coming from? Goes and you're like, shut the fuck up.
It's made me hate everybody.
Well, like,
I really do.
I stay off a lot of social media now.
Yeah.
And my mental health is incredible. Thank you, Mike. He's like the one we send where he's just like fucking zapped. He's like, I was in the mentions. It's fucking crazy. But it is. It's just like this. I used to go on Twitter during the football season and I would get so mad because people would be tweeting at me about the 49ers like they fucking suck. And I'd be like, I wouldn't even be watching the game. I'd be like, I hope your mother gets stage 4 bone cancer. And then they're like, yeah, whoa, dude, I thought I was a fan. And you're like, I hope your fucking wife walks in on you getting pegged. And then everyone was like, I'd like look up and they'd be like, Niners won. And I'd be like, oh, cool.
Cool.
Good game. And then I took it off my phone like 3 seasons ago.
That becomes the real world. And then the real world becomes like this annoying distraction from the real world on the phone. It's stupid.
It's crazy. I'll be on the road on my phone all day, like reading different shit. And then I'll go to like Target and I'll be like, huh, the fuck?
It's weird.
Why's my brain all fucked up?
Yeah.
Like you go in public and people are like, hey, how you doing? And you're like, good, how are you? It's, I don't know. They're going to make it like, I've seen comics do bits about it, but I think it's true. 10 or 20 years from now, this is going to be like smoking inside. They're going to be like, oh, you're just on social media? You can't do that.
I do it. I don't go down rage holes. I look at dumb shit. Like, I actually like my algorithm. Sometimes it's just all consuming, but it's like bees. It's weird animal. Did you see the one? And I tried to talk about this with Anthony, but they couldn't find the clip of the talking porcupine. Teddy, the talking porcupine.
Did you get AI'd?
No.
Jim?
I have.
This is like one of those first things. This is like comic outreach. Where I have to like, I have to go back and tell you, go, I think Jim's becoming senile.
No, this was one. No, this is a real animal video because he's just, they rescued him. And you, no, not that one. That's the one they tried to bring up. There's another one where these two ladies are feeding this little lump of shit. And is that, is this Teddy? But he's very friendly. Maybe just go to all videos. Is that possible?
Yeah, but I do love.
I think this might be it. Hold on, you have to put your headphones on.
I want to hear this son of a bitch.
He's very chatty.
Oh my goodness.
That's not talking though.
No, it's just making. Well, he's not a person. He's a fucking. That's my stupid animal.
That was my dad when I was visiting him when he was 12. Dad, can we go play catch?
Yeah. That literally is like listening to my wife try to tell me something. You just zone out. All you hear is noise.
Yeah, that's me on cleaning my desk while my mom's on my phone. Well, I have my ears. I'm like,
But there's two women talking to it. It's a real video.
I like this trend right now where we're taking dangerous animals and just making them pets, like raccoons and porcupines.
Yeah, oh, there it is. Look, come on.
That is fun.
You don't think that's
you like him because he looks like an 80s hair metal lead singer.
Fuck yeah! Yeah. Yeah, the fucking...
He's like, hello, I've got two birds feeding me a cantaloupe. Yeah, you're going to be on the road a lot this time. I love pussy and I love sweet fruits.
The prick-upines or something.
That does work.
Come on.
I hope... Here's my thing.
I do hope it spikes both of them right in their fucking bitch eyes.
Yeah, it just turns around and goes...
But it's very cute.
All in their face.
Guy's eating a piece of melon.
This is how I think extraterrestrials treat us. Is they come and then we get, like, pick us up in our ship and we go like, please send us home. And they go, he's talking.
Look at it, it's so cute.
Yeah. And to them it's just going... And we're like, please, my name is Steven. I have four children. I was taken out of a cornfield. Please send me back to Earth.
And they don't know. They've mixed up our biology. So they're like, they don't like when you probe their mouth like this. You're like, ow, ow, ow.
Oh, fuck. And then they pick up one that does. And they go, this one seems to push back on it.
Yes. Listen, let's not go to San Francisco again.
Go 49ers. I'm sick of that. Because Atlanta's way gayer now.
Did you see...
Atlanta's the gay...
Is it gay?
I think Atlanta might have taken San Francisco out as the gay capital.
No, it is number two, I think, San Francisco. I heard somebody at the cellar said...
So we're bottom?
Yeah, number two, that's right.
By design...
Major epicenter of HIV/AIDS. Round of applause. Round of applause for Atlanta.
Black city, low white T cells.
All the white T cells moved out.
they got out of there. They got the fuck out of there. But it is, San Francisco's not the gay city anymore.
No, there was one that actually took it over. And I was just walking through, I don't even remember the comic, but he was saying like, San Francisco was overtaken. And he made some tasteless joke about it that the gay community wouldn't like.
It was all the tech bros. They just outpriced the gays.
I guess so, yeah.
Gays like affordable, dangerous neighborhoods.
And but they are ballsy. Like, them and hipsters will move into the shittiest, roughest neighborhoods and kind of take it over.
Gays are always the first ones.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they come in, and it's also because black people are they used to be so scared of gays, you know, because they, like, down low brothers, they weren't even allowed to be gay. And then gays come in and they're like, yeah! And they're like, back up.
Yeah.
Back up, motherfucker.
Yeah,
you're... And they always, like, that, they, Williamsburg, Bushwick, fucking Bed-Stuy. It was all gay.
The gays
first.
I didn't realize. I thought it was the hipsters.
The hipsters come in second.
Oh. They let the gays pave the way.
They do. They make them take the hits.
Yeah.
And then they open all the stores. Hipsters.
Little art shops.
Oh, New York.
New York's the gayest city. And what's the number two? San Francisco is number two. Okay.
Los Angeles is third.
Yeah.
Chicago, I did not think is four. Damn, my bad. Atlanta's not even in the top five.
Providence, not surprising. Not surprising, Providence. Washington, D.C., number six. Seven is Palm Springs, California or Florida? I'm going to guess Florida.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, yeah. Everybody knows those gays like to run around without shirts. San Diego, except for Chicago and Seattle.
Atlanta's not even in the top 10. No. My bad, Atlanta.
They're probably more on the down.
Boston. Yeah. I don't believe that. Denver. I mean, yeah. I could have told you it's pretty good.
Yeah, put that right in my mouth. Come on, let me feel it. Let me just nibble around the head.
How hot are you? How fucking hot are you? I got a fucking idea. I'll come back here. I blow you. You blow me. We're not telling no one.
Put it in my backyard.
You're going hot in the yard. That's so funny.
Yeah, Boston, I wouldn't have guessed was fucking top 15.
Philly is an honorable mention with Atlanta. Miami not being in the top 10 is crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if they're, I don't know, maybe it's just a vacation spot. They get into Miami, they do drugs, they get out of Miami.
They open, they close, they're gone.
I could never live in Miami. I actually don't even draw. I did Miami stand-up one time like 15 years ago.
No one does.
I didn't like it. Unless you're like, if you're a Latin act, you do great, a black act, but most white comics I know don't do particularly well.
Pasty whites?
No, we don't.
You ain't going to move tickets at all.
Not at all. I mean,
every time I've tried to go to Miami, it's been a colossal failure.
Yeah, I'm flyering in Little Haiti. Come on. How come?
Come on, we'll make Cubanos at the end. Please.
Get my mon caca.
But every time I've been to Miami, I've just fucking bombed.
Yeah, yeah. But it's we bomb with audiences or with people showing up?
Both,
yeah.
But the audience that shows up, they're like, we came off the beach for this.
And they're just there for a show. They're not there for me. Like, yeah. And this was like when O&A was doing great. It just was not
really.
Yeah,
even at the peak of that.
Yeah, some cities were always great, and some cities were bad. And it's just that's not my demo. Like Gabriel Iglesias could probably do four stadium shows.
Oh my God, they'll sit on each other's shoulders to watch them.
Did he do Dodger Stadium twice with Joe Coy?
They did SoFi. They did the football stadium. Wow. Him and Joe Coy did the football stadium.
How shy are they were? Like, cause Shane would admit 76,000 he sold.
Well, I think he did over that.
Was it over 70?
I think he did over 80,000.
And what were they? What were they?
76. That's what it was.
But what were they each night? They were probably maybe 65. Maybe it was a smaller place. But
it does sound like we're just checking numbers for a race war.
Yeah, like
hypothetically, Latinos and Filipinos versus the whites. What do we got?
But they had two nights. But then again, the white guy probably could have done.
So
yeah, what a show.
Yeah, that is
Dodger Stadium twice.
SoFi. Comedy.
That's all right. I'm glad. I don't want the article to come up. What am I going to do? Read about that and feel worse? I feel bad about myself already. I don't need to see. Oh, what's Joe Coy and Gabriel Iglesias?
Sold out 70,000 plus seats.
Oh, so Shane blew him out of the water.
Shane had him by about 6,000. 6,000,
yeah.
But that is crazy. Football in a comedy in a football stadium just seems odd.
For me, comedy without a curtain seems odd. Yeah. Fucking hanging in the fifth row.
Just looking up to a section. Hey, 348. What'd you guys think of that one?
Hey, wow, there's actually people up there. Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, I've opened for Shane, and he does these arenas, and you look, and you're like, you know, it's how it is. Like, you've been on with, like, Louis and shit, where you're just like, God damn.
I didn't do stadiums with Louis. Like, I did The Garden with Kiltony, and it's like, it's a different setup, but it's still the same pacing and timing of a giant show. And it is, you can't really tell whether you're doing well or, and then you're off stage and you hear someone else's laugh. So you go, oh, okay, yeah, they're laughing.
It is one of those ones where you don't know. When I opened for Shane at Madison Square Garden, they had me stretch because Michael Che was late. That sucked.
Yeah.
Because I went first.
Oh.
And I had them. They were good. But then just watching someone come up to.
How much did you
My manager
stretch?
Came up to the side and went like this.
From
went,
what to what, time-wise?
I think I was supposed to do 12, and I ended up doing 18.
Okay.
But I was like...
You're burning through your best shit.
I was... By the way, they told me to stretch at minute 11. So I'm like doing the last bit that I think I'm doing. And I look over, and my manager's like... And I went... I looked at her, and I went, no. And I you know, it's in the round.
Right.
And then I was walking back around, and she was like... And so I just started another bit.
Just start like, talking about something else.
Yeah.
But the crowd can kind of sense you going, so a lot of, what else is happening?
Yeah, dude, that was, honestly, that was the thing that you could tell because I was like, ah, dumb bitch. So, prime rib sandwiches. And they go, what?
When is your special coming out?
I don't know. We're editing it next week. So probably January or February.
Do you like, are you good at watching yourself or do you fucking
hate it?
I hate it too, yeah.
So I had to do, we haven't edited it yet. That's why I looked at Mike because I have been like, I had to listen to it first.
Yeah.
Is that how do you, because when you watch an edit of a special, you're like, oh, shut the fuck up.
I'm okay editing. Like, I can never just watch it, but editing still feels like part of the same thing. So it's like, I'm doing it. It's okay. But like, once it's done, I mean, it's so much better now. It used to be like for HBO, send time codes, cut 307, take from the late show. Like, it was really.
Yeah, I think it'll be easier for us. The thing that I am very nervous about is we're going into an editing studio and Colin Quinn directed it. So I'm going to be pretty upset if he's like, fucking, that sucked. And you're like, no, it's just like, oh, cool, I get to watch a thing that I already hate watching with a comic that I love.
No, but it'd be funny if his camera angles are all off. No, it's just your shoulder and your ear.
I fucking work for Bob Newhart. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh,
what, do you want to look like you're on a special?
Yeah. But I'm excited because it was awesome. You know what was great about working with Colin is I got to
no,
ask.
No, I don't. I cannot imagine him, one thing.
I got to ask him the questions that normally he would have told me to shut up about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why are your legs so thin?
Does he have thin legs?
Thin legs. It's like one leg that's been cut in half. It's fucking awful. They're really not even legs.
As a skinny calf guy?
He should catch insects like this on the side of a wall. He's a praying mantis-legged idiot.
Oh, I fucking love it. This is making me feel better about going into the editing session.
Oh, he's got terrible tiny legs.
Colin, you need to wear shorts.
And his fingers. Look at his fingers. He has little witch fingers.
That's going to bother. Yeah.
Ask him that question.
Yeah, I'm going to keep these. I'm going to keep these in my pocket.
Yeah.
Why? Because he goes, that angle stinks. I'll go, shut up, witch fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the hell, you know that.
Nice stick legs, idiot.
I think that's going to be...
Odd, you have thin legs and you do stand-up. Hit him with that one.
We should be, that should be your Patreon, is if people have family members that they want to make fun of, they'll just send you pictures of what they look like, and then you'll come up with insults that people can use back at their family members.
Well, Anthony and I have a Patreon, so maybe I'll say send it to us and we'll both do it.
And that's what you should do is come up with...
I'll handle certain families that I know that he'll get carried away with.
Yeah, we know which ones he'll volunteer for. But get the one, and then you just have a bunch of zings. Because like that's actually like, if you're not good at doing that, and you're like... Or if you have someone that like bullies you in your family and you can't ever get a good one on them, if you just send them to you and be like, please come
Let's
up.
Practice, Dan. Bring up a picture, Mike. Bring up a picture of anybody. Watch me go.
Let's see if Jim can fucking nail this.
Oh, I'm going to kill him, whoever
it
is.
Let's bring up a picture of a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Let's see. And it's...
Look at that. Mark Normand reading the New Yorker. That's boom.
Fun.
Done.
Got him.
Done.
That's $20 in your
20
pocket.
20 bucks right there.
Now that's 20 in your pocket.
20. I'm going to riff for a few lines. 20 per line.
Oh, look at Colin.
Oh, look at that. What is he? What is his? What is he in a red shirt competition? Guy who's really bad at making fun.
So, again, we're going to shift this whole entire idea.
Hey, nice hat. What are you, a Zionist?
God. That's so funny. Voss goes, well, that hurt. Voss needs to stop dressing like a plainclothes cop. Whoever told him that the hoodie and the hat thing works, like he's like, hey, you want to buy pot?
It's like you're either the Invisible Man or Serpico. Everyone knows me. my routine took a real hit in the last few months. I've been on the road. I've been flying. I've been traveling. Travel plans are definitely slowing down. I am still just as busy as I want. Factor meals are the one consistent good thing I do in my diet. Because you don't feel like you're dieting. And by the way, you don't have to diet with Factor meals, but I have chosen to get the lower calorie ones, and it's helped me a lot. You can look at how terrific I look. Sexy, I might even add. These are all chef crafted. I hate that my producer is laughing at that line, which was meant to be a real nipple perkiner. Chef crafted, a dietitian designed, ready to eat meals. You don't have to choose between real food and convenience. They are real. They are real and they are really tasty. The fact that I just said tasty should make you hate me, but they are. They're delicious. Over 175 banned ingredients. Every Factor meal is designed with what supports a healthier lifestyle and nothing that doesn't. So you're not getting garbage when you eat these. And they taste good. That's the most important thing. I want to eat healthy, but I want it to taste good. It's really easy to eat lousy tasting food and lose weight, but it's hard to do it for any length of time. Factor meals I've been eating for probably 2 years now, and the results have been tremendous. Now, they're ready in 2 minutes. They require no prep and no cleanup. Oh, I wish sex was like that. But unfortunately, it does require prep and cleanup. So even on the days your schedule is completely out of control, eating well is very, very achievable. If you don't have 2 minutes, then just change your life. Every week you're going to find over 100 nutrient-dense meals to choose from and new options, salmon burgers, shredded pork, collard greens, and more. Add-ons you're going to crave, pumpkin-flavored cheesecake, protein shakes, like really, really good stuff, an amazing selection. 97% of users agree that Factor meals help them live a healthier life. I am absolutely one of the 97%, and I'm going to say this. The other 3% are stupid, or they're cheating on their diets. They're just not doing it right. You can feel confident you're doing something good every time you have a Factor meal. I'm not going to ad lib my personal endorsement. I've already done that. I love these meals. They're really good. They've helped me eat healthy, and they've helped me not go out and decide to cheat on my meals because I'm eating lousy at home. When you're eating boring, plain food, that's when you get fat again, because that's when you cheat on your meals. Let's eat real. Head to factormeals.com/Norton50off. That's Norton50off. Use the code Norton50off to get 50% off and one free breakfast item per box for a year. While supplies last until October the 31st of 26, that's Norton50off at factormeals.com. Norton50off at factormeals.com. Go see the website for more details. But I'm telling you, this food is delicious. They make it easier to eat healthier. Why am I still talking after the mandatory part? I don't know. Just shut up, Jim. I think about what I could have done with all the money I've wasted over the years. I've handed it over in security deposits and higher interest rates. What could you do with that money? You could take a vacation. And the reason that you don't have that money, it's because your credit is not where it needed to be. My credit, certainly for a long time, was not where it needed to be. Let me show you how to keep it. This is where Kickoff, K-I-K-O-F-F, they're the number one credit building app in the Apple Store, come in. The Apple Store. What am I, 90? It's the App Store, stupid. Kickoff, they're in the Apple Store. Kickoff helps you build credit easily and affordable. Their plans start at $5 a month, no credit check, and no hidden fees. The best thing I've done in my adult life is build my credit back from a disastrous place that it was in. I spent a lot of money on stupid things. I jacked my credit cards up through the roof. I paid an interest. I wasn't even touching the principal. Now, new users have a credit under 600. You grow an average of 86 points just by paying on time. And you have to pay on time. With transparent, affordable plans starting at just $5 a month, there's no hidden fees and zero interest. Kickoff helps you score big when it comes to credit. It's really simple. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see good behavior, and your credit can grow really fast. Plus, their recent reporting feature, it helps you build credit with the rent you already pay. Every positive on-time rent payment gets reported to help boost your credit, which is nice because when you screw up, they immediately find out. So if you're doing something right, you'd like them to immediately find out. You start building credit immediately for only $1 your first month. Set up auto pay so you never have to worry about missing a payment. You can sign up in minutes from your phone. There's no credit check, no interest, and no hidden fees. Kickoff is really amazing. It's safe, and it's a trusted credit institution. Over 1 million users, hundreds of thousands of positive reviews. There's a reason why Kickoff is the number one credit builder on the App Store, or as I like to say it, in the Apple Store. Start building credit with Kickoff today. Aren't you sick of lousy credit? Start building today. Get your first month for as little as $1. That is 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/Norton. That's getkickoff, GETKIKOFF.com/Norton. GETKIKOFF.com/Norton. Here's the thing. If you're a fan of Jim Norton, your credit probably needs help. You must sign up via getkickoff.com/Norton to activate order. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers, first month only, subject to approval, offer subject to change. Average first year credit score impact of plus 86 points between August of 24 and August of 25 for Kickoff credit users who started with a score below 600, who paid on time, and who had no delinquencies or collections added to their credit profile during that period. Late payments may negatively impact your credit score. Individual results may vary. Thank you, Kickoff. Welcome to the show. And guys, get your credit in order or you're never going to have a nice place or nice things.
But he used to dress so cool, like with the leather jacket and like older. He needs to go back to that. He's regressed.
He's old man on the beach cool now, which is that stupid straw hat and the sunglasses.
Yes.
And he does not understand. You look like an old man in a sunny climate.
Yeah, but that's the way to do it. That's what his body wants. He stayed in shape long enough.
Yeah, he did.
Let him give him Boca. Give me Boca Raton Rich.
There he is. That's him.
Yeah, there it is. Him and Jimmy. Yeah, that's a good look.
He's very funny on Gutfeld. I mean, he's still hilarious. But
oh,
that
Voss
hat
is the best.
The hat's got to go.
I think he's just sticking. Oh, we got a call.
I guess we do. I forget sometimes. Careful with the headphones.
Oh, you don't want to.
Oh, I don't want you to knock over your cup of coffee. Hi, you're on the phone with Dan and Jim. Guest name first.
Hi, I'm Kristen.
Hi.
All this talk about pegging and butt-fucking is actually why I'm calling, Jim. Ooh. So I'm very into pegging, and I am wondering, like, a softer, more delicate way to bring that up with guys rather than just saying, like, can I fuck your ass? Because I feel like that's not a good jumping off point.
Yeah, I don't think that is the way to get into it. I don't think you can jump right into the entree of I would like to butt fuck you.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because then it makes them feel like gay if they like it. How would somebody... See, here's the thing. I'm so out there with talking about it.
Sure.
That no one has to ease into it with me. So I'm trying to think of how, like, they
you
can
got
just
a loose
say
butthole.
No, physically I can't even take anything. Yeah. But they have to, like, to talk about it. No one's ever afraid to breach a subject with me. How would you broach that to a guy who has never had that conversation?
I think you would need to see if he's all right first with a finger in the butt.
That's right. Yeah, maybe slide. Maybe see how they go. Maybe spit on your finger.
Or even ask him. Go. Do you ever take a finger in the butt when you're getting your dick sucked? And if he goes, oh, that could be cool. Then you go, well, we've got a little ground to stand on.
Or you just start rubbing it. Sometimes don't say it. Just as you're blowing them, just kind of get your finger wet and start teasing around there. And if he goes, ooh, go faggot.
And he goes, well, now I don't want to do this. He just tightens up.
I would say start with the finger a little bit, though. I wouldn't talk about it. I would do it while you're blowing something, because then there's like, you're caught up in the moment. You don't have time to think of the implications of it.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's like trying a vegetable while you're already eating.
Yeah.
You go, take a bite of this. And you go, oh, what is this?
And then you're already eating. Yeah, zucchini.
And you go, I hate zucchini. I was raped with one. And you go, well, then don't eat it. And you go, I already did, and now I have to throw up.
Exactly. No, now I want more. I forgot how good that is. I forgot that felt.
Make it so I can't breathe with this zucchini. Have you had adverse reactions when trying to peg?
Kind of, sort of. So I've done it with a guy who was totally on board, but I live in a small rural community, so any talk of, like, any ass play, guys are instantly like, oh my god, that's gay, or do that. So I feel like, yeah, like, I just kind of have to, like,
move to a big
get
city,
get some feelers out there and yeah, see what happens.
Oh, country mouse, you and your country mouse games. Go fuck it. You silly. Move to the big city where boys take it in the butt.
Yeah, boys can handle it.
Block by block.
Wait, let me ask you. Are you dominant? What do you like about it, and how do you behave when you're doing it?
So I don't mind being dominant, but I don't want the guy to be totally beta during it either. Like a guy that's a total simp is not for me.
Can I ask
the guy that I've done it with before...
Yeah.
Yes, Dan.
No. You're
she wants a guy bent over a hay bale, just pushing back, going, that all you got? That all you got, bitch? But
that's what I am trying to wonder, if it's like, oh, if I get back there, I'll get you. where are you? You're up in my butt. Oh, if I could just get my hands on you. I thought you'd want a guy that's like,
yeah. Ow.
More.
Daddy.
So you don't like it if the guy's super into it. Or am I saying that wrong? Or you just don't like it when a guy's beta?
I like it when a guy's into it, but I don't want him to be just completely submissive.
Right.
Got it. Yeah, you don't want a dead fish.
Now, do you slap his face with it?
No.
Is it about humiliation, or do you just like sticking it in his ass?
I just like sticking it in. I'm not into the whole humiliation thing. But to be honest with you, I also think that if it was the right person, I could be, because I also think it would be fun to cuck somebody.
Oh,
so
why do you live
like
in a small town?
Maybe
move
Dan's
here.
Right.
Yeah, you got big city ideals.
Yeah, I'm married, but I'm ready for a divorce and a young cuckoldress.
But isn't, if and excuse me, because I'm very vanilla on this, but isn't cucking, you would be having sex with another guy in front of him?
Yes, but I also like the idea of, like, maybe it being me and two guys. So, like, me fucking a guy while he's having to suck the other guy's dick or something.
Damn.
I don't know. I
that's
feel
so
like
funny
I'm just
if that guy...
I'm mixed up.
No, you just, you're You're a good egg. You're an open book, and you want to try a few new things, and you're in a small town girl with big dreams.
Yeah, you're like one of those things at the airport that you can buy that goes into any sort of electrical outlet, where you're like, it goes into the UK one. That's it goes right. into the Australian one. It goes into, she goes, I'll switch it up, whatever. You got a hole in a plug? I got you, Kim.
They should send you. Yeah, you and your fake dick should be in Brookstone.
one for all. But it is, what is funny is, like, if you were to tell a guy, like, I want a two-guy threesome, he's like, great. And she goes, now here's the kicker.
Yeah.
here's
the rub.
The rub is, you're the connection piece. And he goes, excuse me?
Anything dirty like that, you have to ease into a little bit. Like, even if it's not that, if it's just taking a strap on, ease into it slowly and see if you can tap into that pervert side of a guy where he's safe telling you.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want him to feel safe. But also, my ignorant question is it a double-sided dildo? Are you getting pleasure off banging these guys? What's the pleasure?
So the one that I currently have is just kind of like a regular strap on, but I want to get one of the ones that a woman inserts inside of her and then it has the strap on piece. I don't know. For me, I guess I just like the feeling dominant.
Yeah. Just take CrossFit.
Yeah.
You'll just have back muscles in 6 months and everyone will be like, Jesus Christ, who's this dominant bitch?
Yeah, you're the best. What a good egg you are.
Yeah, I think you're AI out of Jim's brain.
Yeah, I created you and I put you in a small town. Yeah. Hope you're in Knoxville or Dayton. Yeah. That's where I'm going.
JimNorton.com.
Yeah, for tickets. So
but I do think you would, I mean, you are layered like an onion where you're like, I want to peg, and you go, what else? And you go, well, that's not all I wanted.
Yeah, but it started off very slow. Like, no, I want him to not to be beta or anything like that. I just want to bring over a real man and watch his face get fucked.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Do you, have you ever met someone in your rural town that's even, like, kind of okay with this?
Yeah, I would say it's only one person, though.
How did you bring
it
up?
Is it Lloyd at the hardware store? We've been catching him putting hammers up his butt since he was a little boy. I love, like, small townisms, but just deviant sexual behavior.
As soon as they find out the town, they're going to know who she's talking
about.
Yeah,
they're going to go, oh my God, that boy is a bottom.
Yeah, we look in his fucking garage, there's a bunch of discarded bicycle seats. We understand.
Yeah, he buys PVC pipes to make different instruments.
Yeah, so how did you talk this queer into it? How'd you talk this godless small town queer into it?
It was somebody that I was seeing, and out here, I guess I shouldn't say where I am.
No.
Where I live, there's all these pure romance parties where they come into your house and they sell sex toys, and I just bought a strap-on, so I think that was like a nice entry point of like, oh, hey, I have this now, and so then...
I picked up the Rhino 4. You want to get horned?
So wait a minute. That's an old lady thing to do. Like a Tupperware party where someone comes over and shows you and the gals. Is it you and a bunch of gals looking at sex toys?
Yeah, it was for a birthday party.
Right. So when you buy the strap-on, everyone in the town is going to know who you're fucking with because they know who you're dating.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. It was very, and I wore it around at the party too, so that everyone knew, like, oh, your boyfriend's in for it. Oh,
damn, that's crazy. He has no idea a comet's about to hit his planet.
He doesn't know that you're walking around with it.
She's at the party swinging her fake dick around. He's at bowling. He goes, I don't know, Allison. Kristen's at some stupid fucking birthday party. I hope she gets a dildo. I'll shove it right up her puss, not knowing.
Yeah, she's doing jumping jacks with a fake dick on.
Because it feels so natural.
All the old girls are laughing. Yeah. He's a queer. He's a queer.
But fuck him. But fuck him.
Peg that bitch. Peg that bitch.
She goes, you guys want to see the impression of me and Doug later?
They're all laughing, clapping.
Oh, you're going to hurt him.
Yeah, good.
So when you bought
Make him shit. Make him shit.
When you bought it, did the ladies know? The ladies knew you were going to get down to business.
Oh, yeah. We were, like, it was a super fun night. We had all been drinking. And I think the nice thing about my friend group, at least, is they know that I have a very perverse mind.
Oh, what a great
So there's no judgment from them. I think it's just from guys are so quick to say, like, oh, that's gay, without even trying it.
Well, yeah.
Do you any ass play for you at all in your life?
I'm not into ass play.
Have you tried it in your life?
Yeah, not into it.
Did it feel weird, or you just didn't like, are you self-conscious, or you just didn't like the way it felt?
I honestly would say probably mostly self-conscious, and then I tried it, and I did not like it.
Okay.
I did not like the pressure.
Okay.
I didn't like the feeling of it, and also it kind of, I know some guys were like, it makes me harder. It made me softer. I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you didn't like it, yeah.
But I also have not been a fan of anal sex with women. I don't like...
Yeah,
like,
I don't.
I've tried it and I've been like, eh.
It's fine.
It's fine. And then it's like, the puss is just so great.
Is it?
It is. Jim, I know you're not a fan, but let me tell you.
No, I really am a fan, but I moved to a new town, so I just kind of, I have a new team now. That's all.
I get
just because I'm wearing a Yankee jersey, yeah. Don't think I don't like the Mets.
There you go. The Mets are still good enough for me.
That's right.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I think guys, I think you're right. We're really quick self-consciously to be like.
Because we're afraid it's going to stink, we're going to shit, or it's gay. There's all these weird things.
But if I found out, you know what else I didn't like was having my nipples touched, but some dudes love it.
Whoa, that's where we part ways.
Yeah, not this.
I like them tweedled.
Do you really?
Oh,
you really?
Yeah, it literally, she should like this.
Oh, I go like this.
Like little antenna. Oh, no, I don't.
Go, get that shit
I'm like, oh, now, get up there, yeah. Little antennas.
Tune in Tokyo. you guys can do old radio breaks.
Down here at Fletcher Hardware, we got enough dildos, they can strike home.
Ah, the humanity, the humanity.
I'm going to do this with Katie's nipples next time.
And we're at the top of the eighth. The Mets are up 4-2. Jose Nuno send Oriento into.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, you touch my nipples, you're going to get a fucking UFC elbow.
You know, does it make you feel weird or just does nothing for you?
I don't like it.
It
I
makes you feel
don't
weird.
Like it. I go, fucking get off
get
me.
Get off my fucking nipples.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. But with your boyfriend, Kristen, the first time you busted out the strap-on, was he like, where'd you get that?
No, I think I'm very open about talking about everything. So, like, I try to be upfront with people, like, from the get-go of, like, hey, this is the kind of stuff I'm into. So that way, if they're not, I can either move on or, like, we can ease into stuff. I don't know. I feel like I am very open-minded sexually, and it's really hard to find other people that match my energy.
Well, it's because you're in a rural town.
That's right. And you're talking to one. I wish you lived in New York.
But that's what I mean. Like, you finding a girl, if you would have found a girl like her back in, like, a rural, if you lived in a rural town and bumped into her, that's a jackpot.
I mean, that's, it's like, literally, like, it's money found.
Yeah.
It's like, find, like, money from home, Joe Buck.
You really would have been, like, an old prospector. You'd be like,
well, there's everything here. She'll fuck me, she'll suck me, it's all, I'm gonna be rich. I'm rich. It's your penis, but it doesn't give you diseases. It's a plastic penis.
Yeah, dude, you would have loved her.
Wait, do you make them clean out first? Like, do you have them do enemas first? Like, because guys will do enemas first. You got to do an enema first.
That's so much work.
I know.
No, I've never asked somebody to do that.
Have you ever had a little mistake happen? A little Abe Lincoln hat, as we say?
That's so funny.
No, thank God.
Wow.
Damn, that, you know why? These country boys, they eat clean, they work hard, they love America.
Or she's taking dildos that are too small.
Yeah.
That's strap-ons are too small.
Sometimes, in America, you have a tight asshole. It's just like a truck commercial for a tight rural asshole. Sometimes, you need to butt-fuck harder. And with the Ram 250... Cue up the Pat McAfee music.
Yeah, we get this shit out.
we'll make sure that all your poops on the inside is on the outside. Have you? The first time you did it, did he like it?
He was pretty apprehensive at first, and I think, ooh, kind of like you were saying, I think the pressure is something for guys to get used to. But then after doing it, like starting with smaller toys, he got more comfortable, and then it was okay. But we had only ever used the strap. And I would bring it up all the time, like, hey, do you think we could do it again? And he would say, well, if you're going to do it, you need to be dominant about it. But then,
that's what he said. He goes, if you're going to fuck me, I need you to fuck
exactly.
Me.
Be the boss, for Pete's sake.
God.
Stop acting like you work in the mailroom. Yeah. Take charge of this company.
Yeah, lead the meeting.
Yeah, lead the meeting. Exactly. You have the PowerPoint implement. Shove it in my hole.
What a fun way to call getting butt-fucked PowerPointed. Yeah, she really PowerPointed me.
That's their little code when they're at a party.
I need a PowerPoint presentation. He goes, ooh. I ate Mexican food.
Yeah.
We can't. Yeah. If I would have known you had a PowerPoint, I would have had a Mediterranean diet.
I would have eaten a little cleaner. I would have had Jell-O.
That's why the Greeks had the Mediterranean diet, so they could butt fuck. I always think of Kurt Metzger's line from his Comedy Central Presents, where he's talking about the Greek family that didn't want him to date his daughter. And he goes, why? Because I'm not a dino monkey from Assfuck Island. So funny.
So wait, what'd you say when he said that?
So I was like, okay, no problem. But I guess it kind of like what you guys were just saying too, like, I don't want to spring that up on somebody who's self-conscious because of what they just ate or, you know, how they're feeling. Sure. Or things like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a weird gray area of, okay, I guess I can do it whenever, but
well, you don't want it to be
time.
A brown area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Babe.
Yeah.
I want a money counter going up.
It's a gray area. It became brown and red. It was a big dildle, Ed.
That sounds like a lot of butt fuck.
All right, well, look. Good luck, and now please call this show again and keep me updated.
Please call Jim's personal line and just tell him.
Just tell me how it's going. Yeah, you're the best.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, good luck. Thanks a lot, sweetheart.
You got to take her out of the small town.
Ah, she's the best. She's too big for that town. She's way too big for that town.
I mean, I bet that guy, like, after they broke up was like, dude, she fucking wanted to butt fuck me.
Yeah. Oh, you think he left the other part out?
Yeah, that he liked it?
Yeah.
100%.
Then I'm like, you have to take it.
Yeah. 100%.
You want boy pussy? Take it.
Yeah. Well, then come and get it, cowgirl. Well, then come get this little tuna melt. That's so funny, the thought of, like, proposing that. What if I butt fuck you? He goes, no.
Ah, all right.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, where do you go after if someone says no? That's such a big ask.
You just hear her disappointingly open the closet and hang up the strap on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Another time.
She puts it in a hat box.
Or one of those metal hitman suitcases.
Clang!
Yeah. She goes, this thing's hefty. I need protection for it.
Are you a dirty talker?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got a great brain. Your mind works so fast. I can't imagine you just being quiet.
I've had it backfire tremendously.
Ooh.
Tremendously. In fact, that was fucking one of my jokes. Lady, I was like, I was talking shit, I was talking dirty to her, and she goes, oh boy, we got a talker. That was exactly what she said, and I went, well, not anymore, bitch. Now you just got a guy breathing through his nose angry.
Oh, did you keep fucking her?
Yeah.
Did you ever fuck her again after that?
No.
Yeah.
Because she was mean.
We got a talker? That's awful.
Dude, she said it, we were both drunk. This was fucking like 2010. Picked her up at a show and we were hooking up in my apartment and you know, we like hooked up on the couch and then she's like, well, let's go fuck, and we had sex and I started talking dirty and she went like, she did it in a way that was like, she wasn't like, oh, that's awkward. She went like, oh boy, we got it. I was like, fucking
fuck,
shut
you
up, fuck you. And then one time a lady goes, I can't understand what you're saying, because I was right next to her ear and I was like, I don't know, fucking love myself. I don't know, pussy. And she goes, what? And that sucks.
And you have that voice. You have that like large pituitary gland voice.
Yeah.
Giganticism
voice.
Yeah,
something that they would have stoned me for 300 years ago. Demon voice.
Yeah.
This man speaks with the devils.
It's like fucking Robert Wadlow. Do you remember him? Was that his name? The tallest man in history? He was like 8'7".
Isn't there a picture with him and the smallest woman of all time?
No.
I thought that was Robert Wadlow.
There's a black and white. Look up Robert Wadlow. I hope that was his name. No, not this guy.
Whoa.
Is Wadlow a person?
There he is.
Oh, I was right. Okay, yeah. Big, giant fucking a hat.
Jesus.
Yeah, what a lummox.
And those women were like, wow.
They were regular height people. Look at the car.
Oh, my God. That's got to be such an inconvenience.
Oh, it's awful. And they all die young, and they always have a cane.
Yeah, their bones are brittle and shit.
Their hips are bad.
It's just horrible. They're like giant dogs.
Bad ankles, yeah. Yeah.
They just don't live long.
But that's how they probably talk dirty.
What's that? He doesn't have oxygen.
This guy.
That's the picture I was talking about.
Another guy with a cane. Stop with the fucking canes, you big tall idiots.
How do you want to... Okay, first off, do you know how fucking dangerous it would be to walk around the tallest man in the world without a cane? If you're just like...
What? You're just a guy walking with legs. I gotta have a cane. Just walk. sick of this pussy shit.
Yeah, you're right.
And who's that little twerp he's with? I've had enough of her, too.
He keeps her in her front pocket.
Oh, it's just awful. I'd put her in a roach motel and fucking forget about her.
I keep you now. They gave her... he thought she was a present. Yeah. They go, this is the world's smallest woman. He goes, this is my friend. And they go, no, that's not yours. God damn it, Jorge. Look at this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, his legs are all messed up.
Yeah, he needs a cane.
Okay, I thought that guy was wearing a hat like a veteran. It's not a veteran's
That's
hat.
That's so funny. Yeah, they just catapult him behind enemy lines. They go, this is great. It's like we have a little fucking porcupine in the army. He probably talks the same, too.
He walks into the general's house through the dog door and listens to conversations.
I've got all the secrets. They didn't even know I was there.
Yeah, this guy, he looks like AI. He looks like something out of Avatar.
Yeah. And his dirty talk.
Oh, look at Chandri Dangi, little fella.
Well, I would tell you, I do like being this small.
He's listing all the famous skirts he's looked up. I saw Hillary Clinton's clit.
I saw Margaret Thatcher's old pussy. I went right under there.
She shaved.
Talk about an iron curtain.
Wow.
It was tough.
Yeah, dude, that's too big.
It's too big. But the cane annoys me. The fact that they need a cane just bothers me. You fucking
dwarf. Because it makes so much sense to me that it's funny that it bothers you.
Yeah, because it's like you're tall, but you got legs and it's like the same appendages.
That's so funny. Walk.
Just walk.
Just walk normal.
Yeah, get where you're going.
You're going to be you're the new line of RFK is going to put you in charge of physical therapy.
Just walk.
Just walk.
Get out of the chair and walk, you lump of shit.
Jim was a wrong child. The fuck he talks. I can't listen to him talk.
What blew? Cause I was watching Miles Davis be interviewed on Dick Cavett. Dick Cavett was so great.
Yeah, he had everybody.
He had everybody, and his interviews were sloppy and weird, which was great. Like, he was just conversational, and Miles was mic'd wrong. Like, you could always hear, like, you ever hear somebody when they're mic'd under their clothes, and you can hear the leather creaking?
Yeah, also, if it's, like, close to their neck, you can, like, hear the phlegm in their fucking neck.
This was the clothing on top of it. Sounded awful, but he talked like that. And I looked it up, and they said he had, like, nodes or something when he was, like, in his 20s, and it just never went away, and that was his voice.
Really?
But he didn't sing. He just blew into a fucking horn anyway.
Yeah, let's just dismiss what he did as blowing into a horn.
That's all it is.
Yeah. I like that how fucking mean he was when they would ask him about music.
Or about kids playing music?
You go, that kid sucks.
You ever see that one? He knows he needs to practice.
That's terrible.
They said his grandson said he was listening to punk rock. I forget which band he was listening to. And Miles Davis came in and was like, and they're like, sorry, Grandpa, we're just listening to it. He goes, that drummer, though. And they was like, oh, shit. Because that'd be awesome. If Miles Davis hated your band but liked one member.
That
bass is cold as hell. You'd be like, oh, shit, that'd make me feel so good.
Well, he was talking about, because Dick Cavett asked him when musicians are, like, when you're in the area, because Dick Cavett was listing all the people, like Paul Schaefer and a whole bunch of people showed up to meet him on the set because he's Miles Davis. But he kind of acknowledged that that people would... He looks like Predator. That fucking... Nothing to keep his head from shining.
You just see... Miles Davis only sees heat signatures. Whoa. If it plays the trumpet, we can kill it. I've heard he's had sex with men too.
Yeah, I heard the
but
same thing.
Look at
thing.
Him. He dresses cool as hell.
He's a cool guy.
And that fucking
horn stinks. I hate the horn. It's a shit instrument.
Yeah, right.
No one likes the horn.
Yeah, dude, but you know that if you... We're talking about Miles Davis.
He's great.
If he picked that shit up, you would be like this.
I would watch him play the horn. I would watch
you
Miles
would
Davis.
You would love it. You would love to watch him play the horn.
I would enjoy it a lot because he's Miles Davis.
Yeah, of course.
And
here he is. Look at him.
I know, but it's going to be awful.
Will it?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be awful.
Can you hear for a second? He's just giving toots.
I love that. He goes, that's what I do. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I know he was, and I like him because Richard Pryor at Cafe Wa, Miles was headlining and Pryor was opening, and Miles actually gave Pryor the headline spot because he liked him so much. He let Pryor headline when he was a young comic over him at Cafe Wa.
That's fucking crazy.
And then when Pryor was doing Bustin' Loose,
yeah,
he was married to Cicely Tyson, and Pryor was apparently being difficult on set.
Sure.
And a dick. And Miles called him, and they said, he just said, Rich, that's my woman, and hung up on him.
That's and then it was better?
It was better, yeah, because it was Miles' dear.
Rich, that's my lady.
Yeah, click.
That's such a cool thing.
That's such a
if
cool
I tried doing that to anybody, they go, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Good. I'm going to fuck her on set.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. That's my girl.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Come here and do something about it.
What are you going to do about it? I'm going to make her eat my ass in the trailer.
Yeah, go. What are you going to play a horn? That's you. He goes, well, that was rude. Miles Davis, no one bending for Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Rich, that's my girl.
And I say, fuck you too.
Exactly. Goes, blow into your metal toy, yeah. Dickhead. I don't like the horn. It really annoys me.
Damn.
Did you see, there's a video going around, which I can't play because Anthony and I got a content warning about it. Was the Danny Kaye and Louis Armstrong doing a fucking duet together? Oh.
Who's Danny Kaye?
Oh, he was like an old, legendary old white singer.
Okay.
From like the 40s. And they're doing When the Saints Go Marching In. And I just cannot stand Louis Armstrong.
What?
He annoys me so much.
Has this been a lifelong thing or is this
I just
recent?
Don't like him. But you can't play it because they will content hit us. But they just watch it if you can. And they're smiling and they're all chummy. Hey, we're going to show you that societal norms have to be changed.
He goes,
smiling.
He goes, now I won't let you in my dressing room.
That's right.
Now understand something right here, Louis. We walk outside. You better fucking listen to those
That's
rules.
Right. I'll go back to my hotel and you go back to your hotel.
I have the sheets on the bed. You're down by the train tracks filled with bugs. That's okay.
I hate
That's
that.
How he goes. Well, I just fuck your wife later.
It is a beautiful world.
It's a racist world. I see lunch counters separated.
I see sheets of white.
Crosses to burn.
Like, oh, man, he's getting real.
Yeah, no, I hate his happy to be there
fake.
Smile.
You know why it is? Because you know it's fake.
And it makes you feel bad for black people because in those days, every black musician smiled. Watch old Cab Calloway videos. Everyone in the band, because they didn't want to appear threatening or menacing, every black performer was broadly smiling on TV.
That's what in professional wrestling, like back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they couldn't have black heels. They couldn't have black bad guys because it would just fucking incense everyone.
Really?
So all the black guys had to be good guys. So they weren't threatening. So they're like, I'm trying to help you out.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Because if it was a black bad guy and he was like, fuck you, and I'll take your wife. They're like, ah! They'll burn the place down.
Joe Louis!
Yeah, dude, that's what it was. Like, you really couldn't. If you were like, I'm going to watch this video later.
See if you find an old Cab Calloway, because it's like, he's Minnie the Moocher, and everybody is just kind of broadly smiling.
Well, that's what's always funny of, like, Elvis Presley broke their minds because he shook his hips. Like, that's how sensitive white audiences were. They were like, ah!
Oh, his penis is jiggling. Find the band too, Mike, if you can. Not that it matters. This song actually grew on me. I kind of like Cab Calloway now.
I liked him in Blues Brothers.
I was great in Blues Brothers. He was great. And it's a dumb song. It's a dumb song. I used to do a joke about Minnie the Moocher that Voss loved.
Really?
I didn't remember what it was, but it was something sexual and it was just inappropriate.
Do you think Voss will remember it?
He might. Maybe. He might, yeah.
If he's not having his sundown dementia. He goes, once the sun goes down, he just wants to talk about hats. He forgets who he is.
He forgets who he is, and he just talks about the material and how good it feels.
Yeah, and jewelry. I got this one. It's nice, too. And you go, yeah. Do you remember Bonnie? Do you want to talk about Bonnie? You go, who's that?
I think she's the nurse.
He goes, that's my nurse.
Did you see Father with Anthony Hopkins?
No.
It's so good. He plays a guy with dementia and they keep switching the narrative. Like a woman comes in and he's talking to her and her husband. And then another lady comes in and goes, Dad? And he goes, I was just talking to your husband, who's a character in the movie. And she's like, who, what? I'm not married. And you're seeing it almost from his point of view. It's so uncomfortable.
Have you had a family member ever have dementia?
I don't know. My dad's losing his memory a little, but he's also in his 80s, so we don't know if it's just natural.
Well, that's
the doctor
what I mean.
Said no dementia, no Alzheimer's. So
that's great. But when it starts happening, my grandma was 97 when she died. Like around 93, she was still good. She was still operating, but then she would say some shit where you go, what's up?
Yeah.
And then when Katie would come with me on trips, my grandma would just call me my dad's name.
Oh,
she'd be like,
yeah.
hey, Gary. And you go, he's been dead since 97.
Or you say, Listen, you said you'd loan me $50,000.
I go, Mom, I'm moving you back to the Bay Area. Yeah. She goes, oh.
Nice big house with a pool.
But she really, when your family members, when you see them the first time it happens, you go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, quietly to yourself, you're just like, oh,
what
shit.
What was the first thing she didn't remember?
She didn't know I was me. She was like, talking to me, and she was like, well, Dan's in Colorado. Little Danny's in Colorado. And I was like, what? I go, who's Danny? And she goes, my grandson. And I was like, I'm your grandson. And she goes, and then she could tell what happened. Because she was still kind of there. So it was like, it was a slip. And she goes, I know. I was just like saying when you were little. And you were like, no. You were talking.
I like that Dan just corrects the old gal. No, you didn't, bitch. You forgot who I was.
No, because it's scary. Because she's talking about it. And I go like, who the fuck are you talking about? And then when she said it was me, I was like, oh, you stupid slut.
Yeah. I'm Dan. Shake her roughly. That's aforementioned elbow.
Yeah. Just fucking ground and pound my Nana. Well, Nana, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to shoot the leg, and then I'm going to rain down on you. Your guard is shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and Nana passed away. Was it now from dementia?
No,
and
she's in her mind? Oh. She broke her hip and then renal failure.
That fucking... Is renal the heart failure?
Kidneys.
Oh.
So that's what happens.
How dumb am I? I'm 58. What is the kidneys?
I learned it just because it happened to her. Yeah. But they...
renal failure.
She broke her hip. They tried to fix it. She was doing some physical therapy, but she wasn't getting better. And she was just like laying around. And then your kidneys are just like laying there. So
is that what fucks you up with the hip? It's the kidneys usually?
Yeah. The kidneys go... And then everything else. Once your kidneys go, you die. And so she was just...
Because old people with a hip, man, that's like the beginning of the end. They fall, they break a hip, yeah. And that's done.
Yeah, I have a joke about it in my Netflix special. Because when you don't have old family and it happens, and other people have old family, they do a thing where they're like, oh, yeah, that's it. And you go, well, cool. Good to know. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, and then someone in your family breaks a hip.
That's what happened. It's like she broke her hip, and someone was like, oh, that's it. Someone said that to me. They go, well, that's it. And you go, fuck you.
Yeah,
it just happened. I was in L.A. and an L.A. comic goes, "Oh, broken hip."
How old was she?
96 when she broke her hip.
It's a pretty good run.
Oh my God, she lived by herself. But she would refuse in. I got her in home care.
You did,
and she would just be so mean to her.
How much was that?
A lot.
Do you know how much for a nurse? Was it a full time nurse or like?
It was 3 days a week. They would come in for 4 hours.
And what do they charge? Like $50 an hour.
Yeah, it was in rural California, so it was a little bit more because it was like...
Oh, it was more there because there's less of them?
Yeah, less of them, so you had to pay it. But they would call me and be like, your grandmother won't let me throw out the food that's expired. And I'd call her and be like, hey, you got to let them throw out the food. And she'd be like, it's fine. I go, Nana, it's not. It's from like 5 years ago.
Oh.
And she's like, and it's... old people get to this point where they don't want to admit they can't live by themselves.
And they also, with old people with food, they remember scarcity. So a lot of times they see food going away and they're like, I remember when you couldn't get it.
She's from the Great Depression too.
Yeah.
So she was like, nah, I ain't giving up shit. But what was interesting was when she started going or whatever, she got COVID. And I was like, she had to go to the hospital. And so she was in the hospital with COVID. And I was like, what a transition. Now we'll put her in a home. Great. And I talked to the doctor and he's like, well, your grandmother doesn't need to go to a home. Her motor skills are fine. She's over the COVID. And I was like,
she beat it at 96?
At 94.
Wow.
She got COVID and beat it. And I was like, yeah, but you know, she's 94. We got to do something about it. He goes, well, I'll tell you right now, working with the elderly, keeping them in their home keeps them mentally sharper for longer.
Oh, I guess they still have to do things.
And they know where everything is.
Yeah.
Nothing's a surprise. He said when you change their environment, that's where everything goes haywire.
Yeah, well, you don't have a nurse just walking in while you're in a blue chair in a room you've never seen before.
That's exactly it. And when my grandma broke her hip and she had to go to the hospital, that was when everything started falling apart.
When she died, I mean, obviously it's always sad, but like, were you like ready for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the call. It was the weekend Shane hosted SNL for the first time.
Oh.
And he came over to my house on Sunday just to like hang out like in the afternoon. And I took it like they told me my spot at the stand was canceled.
Wow.
I picked up and I was like, hello. They're like, your grandma died. I went, great. All right. I'll call you back in like a week. We'll figure this out.
Yeah.
And then I just went back in the room. Hey, they're like, what happened? I was like, my grandma's dead. So, but we'd been waiting for a while.
You knew because she was. Yeah. Did you cry and get a big group hug?
No. No, I cried more the last time I saw her when I was at the hospital or the facility,
yeah,
the nursing care facility, I had to go walk. I was with my cousins, and I was the one that was like being like, "Ah, we'll do this, we'll do this." So I was making all the decisions, and then I just dipped out into a doorway and was like, "Because it was like I was like I knew I was like my grandma's fucking dead."
I'm a baby in hospitals. I'm
Are you
so bad? Yeah, like I'm
even
just,
when you did the podcast with Ron,
I did. I didn't cry there because it was. Again, I know Ron for such a long time, and I know how, like, he's just dedicated. He's just, he's about being funny. Like,
yeah, but you didn't at the end? You didn't have the feeling?
I had a feeling, but I know I'll be talking to him again. I text him, "How you doing? Are you all right?" Like, it's very sad, but you're doing something with him where he's still actively doing it. It's more amazing that Ronnie is still doing his job.
He's so funny.
I feel it, and I feel sad. But I also, like, you're more in awe of the guy. Like, we're here to make this funny, man. Like, this is what he wants to do.
I think at the end, what got me at the very end was just this thought of, like, this is the last time I'm going to see Ron.
Yeah, but like, I didn't feel like that. Okay. Even though I probably would be very upset if I felt like that. I felt like, nah, he's doing some experimental stuff. I'm texting with him. I'll see him again. Like, okay. I kind of felt like I'll see him again.
Yeah.
But when you know it's the last time, it's... I've had a few of those where you walk out and it's fucking, I am terrible in hospitals.
And so that's what caught me when I saw my grandma the last time. Because it was like, my cousins were like, oh, they were doing like the positive thing. This is nice. She got a nice little setup here. And I was like, yeah. And then I went outside. I was like,
It's when you leave the room and you make the right into the hallway and you're walking away. That's when, because you don't have to be nice in front of them anymore.
Yes.
It's the hallway that gets you where you're like, there's nothing for me to hold on to strength anymore for.
Yeah, you can drop the poker face.
You can drop the poker face.
And you just go like, oh fuck, this is sad.
Yeah.
And I just had a moment by myself in this fucking doorway and then shook it off and walked back into the room and I was like, all right, let's get going.
You gotta be good in the moment though, because you don't want to depress them by being so.
She did a thing that really made me sad, though, because she could tell that it was the last time I was seeing her, because I live in New York, and this was in Sacramento. So my cousin that lives in Sacramento was seeing her every day, you know, was like going to see her. So the last time I was there and I was leaving and everyone was saying goodbye and she like kept me back a little bit.
Yeah.
And she like gave my hand a squeeze and she was like, thanks for doing all this. And that's when I was like, yeah, so we got to go. And then you just go outside. You're like, and then later in the hotel, I was like, but that's what got me.
Yeah, of course.
Because she basically was like, I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You're going to have to do a little bit more.
Yeah, she threw me deuces. She's like, by the way, I put you in debt with that townhouse. She did. It cost me to get out of that.
Oh, no.
Which I was like, you mean bitch.
Well, did she leave you a lot of money?
No.
Oh,
she left me a townhouse that was in the red. She literally said, well, you can deal with the bank. That's what she said.
Thanks.
That's when
bunch.
I grabbed the pillow and I stopped being sad.
Exactly. Hey, Nanny, you remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah. Hey, Chief.
I'm taking you with me.
Yeah. But it was like, it was just fucking sad as shit that last time.
Yeah, when you walk, there's something about when you feel like, I guess it's when you feel like you probably won't see them again.
And then the thing I remember is going to get In-N-Out and how the people, I got In-N-Out in between the hospital and my hotel. I stopped and got In-N-Out because we were in California. And the people that, how cheery they are.
Yeah.
Where they have the little touch pad.
Yeah.
And I go, what can I get you today? And I go, just like a double-double, like animal style. And they're like, what's going on? You don't want a big lemonade? And you're like, yeah, I do. It was just like a sad order in and out. You go, I would really
it's
like
it's what Grandma would want me to drink.
Nana loves pink lemonade.
Nana loves burgers.
Yeah, and then I just fucking went back to the hotel and ate it quietly.
Yeah.
It sucks. Having old family sucks.
Are you? Both my parents are in their 80s. You're never ready. Like, I know I'm not going to, it's going to be awful when they die. But I'm also like, I know I'm lucky to have my parents this late into my life.
Yeah,
it's like huge. It's like as much as it's sad, I'm lucky that I've had them for this many. You know, you start thinking of that too. Like,
yeah, they've watched you become the grown pervert you've grown
into. They've watched me go like this. Yeah.
You guys can die at any time.
Yeah, they've gotten to see my fucking my popularity wane. They've got to really watch me go full circle.
No, but you've got to watch your parents get older and stuff. And what's cool about watching your parents get older is you realize that you shouldn't have been scared of them all those years.
Yeah.
Because you see them now and you go, fucking.
Oh, they're scared of me. I come over, I start banging pops and what the fuck is this?
Scaring them away like the raccoons in the garbage.
Ah! Oh. No, they, it is weird seeing them be this old, but I also think there's good DNA. Like, when they're in their 80s, and my dad still drives, and they're in like an old person community.
That's great.
It's a house, but they have like facilities nearby, but they actually assist other old people. But they have a community center, but they're not in a hospital. It's a real house, and they're getting around.
Have your parents gotten to the age where they talk shit about people who are old who aren't doing as well as them physically?
No, they really don't. Like, they're both really nice.
My grandma used to do that all the time. She'd be talking to her friend Barb, and Barb would be like, you know, Richard died. And she was like, what was he, like 82?
Yeah, nothing. You're
like,
Richard.
Damn.
What a pussy.
Yeah, it really was that. That was the energy where she was like, fucking queef. Oh, I'm dying of a heart attack.
No, 83 is too big.
She goes, I'm up here 94, still fingering myself. I go, no.
And not on the front.
No, all asshole, all ass play all the time.
Well, you're like, where's your arm, Grandma? You hear the charm bracelet going. You're like, no.
Oh, I'm playing a little game of solitaire, if you know what I mean. You go, Jesus.
Yeah, she's only got, she's one press on nail is missing. Well, I don't know why an 80, 90-year-old woman had press on nails, but you understand.
Still out there.
But I like the fact that shows good genetics when they're actually, when your parents are still pretty healthy late in life. Is your mom alive or dead?
Yeah, my mom's alive, 78. She's doing good.
And your dad died when you were young, right?
Yeah, when I was 14 of alcoholism.
Yeah. So your mom being alive is good.
Yeah, that's what, I have to check my genetics through the women because all the men die.
Do they?
Well, it's like all the guys are all alcoholics, but the women, like my mom and my grandma both have done really
well. Are you close to your mom?
Yeah. We're good.
Does she like your fiance?
Loves her.
Oh, good.
Likes her better than me.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. No, it's great. We see her twice a year, and she fucking loves my fiance. She loves Katie.
And your mom's in California?
She's Colorado.
Oh, all right.
So we drive out there for Christmas. We have a fucking
great
time.
You drive from the...
Her family's in... Her brother's in Chicago. So we drive here to Chicago for like 4 days. Then we drive Chicago to Denver. And then we love it.
But how bad is the drive-in? Because you're going... I mean, picture the snow. Why don't they live in Florida and Louisiana?
You know? We've got...
I mean, what snowy conditions?
But we have gotten snowed. We've gone through some storms. That shit sucks.
Do you check the weather before you go in panic?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of just like, we got to fly. This is a nightmare.
Well, we bring our dog, and we like that, and we also kind of like the idea of taking our time, and like, if there's a storm, fuck it, we'll stay in Iowa for a day.
Yeah.
And it's actually, we block off like the last 2 weeks, so we just have like, it's great, man. We don't fucking, we're barely on our phones.
No stress, yeah.
And there's no work, so it's really like, that's like the most privileged shit that I do, is I take the last 2 weeks of the year off.
That's nice, and go to a...
tour like a motherfucker, and then the last 2 weeks of the year, I'm like, I'm not doing nothing.
Do you stay in nice hotels, or do you save money?
No. We stay in fucking Holiday Inns, Hilton. What's funny is this is how trashy we are. On the drive back from Colorado to Chicago, there is a Bennigan's.
Ooh.
In a hotel. It's a Holiday Inn Express.
Of course it is.
And we stay there every time.
And you eat at the Bennigan's?
Yeah.
Are Bennigan's still on the East Coast? I haven't seen a Bennigan's.
There's one in Ohio. There's a couple. Jay and I were going to...
Bennigan's.
Yeah, before the pandemic. I think it was before the pandemic. On the bonfire, we were gonna buy one. We wanted to franchise a Bennigan's.
Who talked you out of it? Fucking Colin Jost and Pete Davidson?
Yeah, probably. They're headquartered in Dallas, but there's still a bunch over there.
Oh, there are. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Bennigan's. 1976. I love the good Bennigan's.
Yeah, they still. They got a Royale. Oh, they got. Or no, what's it called? The
haven't eaten in one in years.
Oh my God, you'll love it. Go. Their chicken fingers still fucking rock, and their sandwiches is the what's their big fucking sandwich that I get all the time. It's the Monte Cristo. That's
Yeah.
Oh, look at that menu, man. They still got it.
The old Irish guy with the hat and the mug.
Oh, they still got their good stuff. Look at that. Good desserts.
How is the Bennigan's in the hotel you eat in?
It's great.
So you don't like it like I like a gentleman's accommodations.
No.
I
like a corporate hotel.
I'll have a corporate hotel, yeah.
I like a Hyatt, Hilton.
I like a good Courtyard Marriott.
Yes.
Love a good Courtyard Marriott.
I'll do any of that. And this Holiday Inn is like a nice Holiday Inn.
Oh, it is, okay.
So there's like a lot of meetings there, so they keep it up.
They keep it fresh, crisp. Yeah,
but I fucking love it, dude.
Do you stay at it every time?
Every time we go back.
And it's one day there, too?
It's what we drive from Colorado to this place in Iowa to get Bennigan's.
How long is that?
9 hours.
Ooh, okay.
And then the next morning we wake up and drive 5 hours to Chicago. So it's not bad.
So you go to Chicago on the way home?
We go both.
Oh.
We stop on the way there and hang out for a couple days. It's our midway point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the weird thing about waking up, see, I'm such a shit person to travel with because I only drive at night. Like, I'd much rather drive at night.
Oh, really?
I don't sleep, so I would rather drive at night, get there, sleep during the day a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible, terrible travel companion.
Well, we get fucking sick of it by the end. So the last day, when we're in Chicago, we just go, fuck it, and we drive straight Chicago to New York.
Yeah, it's 10 hours, right?
No, 14. I think it's like 14 hours.
No, Chicago's 14. Maybe because you drive in the winter.
Yeah.
And you're driving over ice. That can't be 14 hours.
I think it is.
Oh, Dan.
Oh, stop.
I won't be ignored, Dan.
I won't. Listen to me. It's 12, 13. Wow, all right. Okay. It's 12 hours.
Yeah, maybe the weather gives you an extra.
No, I was wrong. It is 12 hours because that's how we did it last year was I did 7 and Katie did 5.
See, that's the good thing about being with someone who drives, you can split it. But even when Kenny and I were going together, I wouldn't like when someone, even I trust him behind the wheel. He's probably driven more than I have in my life. I still don't like when someone else drives.
Yeah, I get that. I really have a hard time giving that up.
I'm afraid they're going to fall asleep.
If I were on the road, I would prefer I drive.
Yeah.
Even if my opener has a car, I'm like, I'll fucking
drive. Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, because it's fucking way easier.
Yeah, the idea of somebody else, I can't fall asleep in the passenger seat. I worry about everything.
Do you sleep on planes?
Not even if I was flying around the world nonstop.
Really?
No.
I can nap so good for 20 minutes.
Oh, 20 minutes, yeah.
On a plane, fall asleep, wake up.
This is where Anthony's alcoholism is a giant aid.
Yeah.
He'll fall asleep before takeoff sometimes and then just land and wakes up when it fucking...
I dream of that.
Voss can do that too. Voss is the biggest piece of shit travel companion because you'll talk to him and then you're still in the gate. And he might wake up during takeoff for a minute. Out like a light.
I would dream of that. I've had it where I've fallen asleep, gotten deep sleep, woken up, and we've been delayed. So I wake up and I go, I did it. We made it here.
And
we're
you
moving.
Haven't even
go,
backed yeah. out.
And you're like, oh. Or we just backed out. That's what woke me up. We were like backed out going to the runway. And I'm like, he fucking peed.
Voss could have fell asleep during the final bank on 9/11.
That's really funny. Listen to me. We are going to crash the plane.
Everyone's yelling, oh my God. And he just dozes off.
You mind if I sell CDs at the front of the plane? You mind if I sell my CDs?
Yeah, but Rich can sleep on a plane, man, and that's a gift.
That is a gift.
That is a gift.
I'd fucking kill for that.
Yeah, to be able to sleep anywhere. Some guys can fall. Dr. J, many years ago, we interviewed Dr. J, and he said that was one of his greatest attributes physically, is that he can sleep anywhere. He's like, I can sleep in the car. I can sleep on the plane on the way to the venue. I'll fall asleep. He goes,
crazy.
You get so much energy from doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm always tired.
Do you get good sleep now?
Never. My wife will complain sometimes. I didn't sleep last night. I'm like, that's how I live. I'm always
even
like
that.
Even
with the sleep apnea machine?
I don't use it. It's too claustrophobic. I take it off. I try to use it, and then I can't use it.
When's the last night of good sleep you've ever had?
It's been a long time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'll crash once in a while and get sleep.
Even when you start exercising again?
I'm exhausted all the time. Today my workout was brutal. I get the shit kicked out of me for an hour. Doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
No.
Do you nap?
No.
You're in hell.
No, I'm just always tuckered out.
God, a little sleepy gym, dude.
Yes, sometimes when I'm taking jiu-jitsu, I get very tired.
I get so sleepy when they're hoarding me on the mats.
Yes, when they're holding. That's the worst. Like when and we'll wrap up. I didn't realize it was so long. But he's heavier than me, but he's in shape, and like he'll just put his weight on me, and it's so hard to breathe. And it's hard not to just tap from
just
having
to go,
somebody.
I want
to
sleep.
Yeah, just is uncomfortable.
What about a weighted blanket?
No, I fucking hate anything on me when I'm sleeping. I have a nice cooling blanket. It's a weird slippery blanket that's always cool. No, weighted blanket.
Not even in the winter when it's cold.
No, I put a regular blanket on me.
You don't put a down comforter on and build it up?
No, I don't want a red comforter.
No, dude. But I love you. They're so nice. Down comforters are always so nice.
Yeah. How's your comforter? It's happy.
It's happy. I don't know. It produces a joy that I never could.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always in plea. You don't understand until you own one.
Can we nap? Do you want a nap? He goes, I really like a nap.
Oh, the great Dan Soder. I didn't realize we were talking for so long. Thanks, man. You're such a funny fuck.
And, I love hanging out with you.
Me too, buddy. I'm so happy for you with your Netflix special and Colin and Your podcast is a hit. I sound like somebody's aunt saying that, but
it's a hit.
Everything you're doing, Dan, is clicking on all sills.
Oh, man, that's gross.
DanSoder.com.
I love you.
The great Dan Soder.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid, good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.